How far would you go to get to the top in the horse industry? Would you lie, cheat, steal? Where do you draw the line? Welcome to the Hayloft Hour. I'm your host, Jordan, otherwise known as Spotted Bay Productions. I've been viewing the world through the ears of a horse since I was 2 years old, and this podcast is my attempt at uncovering the dark side of the equine industry. True crime, scandals, and horror stories that might otherwise stay locked away in the hayloft forever. My purpose is to make these stories well known so that we can make sure they never happen again, or to let those who may find themselves victims in these situations know that they are not alone. Make sure to join us on social media to follow my daily life with my two horses. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Spotted Bay Productions. A quick reminder that all information in this podcast has been found online and compiled for your listening pleasure. Inaccuracies or out-of-date information is always possible. This is for educational purposes only, and everything is alleged until proven in court. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen and share it with your friends. If you have an episode suggestion or a personal story that you would like to submit, email it to me at spottedbay@gmail.com, but please leave out the personal info and just leave behind the juicy details. In October of 2011, Kathy Swanson was sitting at her desk at City Hall in Dixon, Illinois, the same place she'd worked for decades. Her boss was out of town, so it fell on her to reconcile the bank statements. During the reconciliation, Kathy noticed an account she wasn't aware existed. This account had three very large recent deposits. Kathy was the deputy treasurer for the city of Dixon, and this account was listed under the city's name. However, the account was in care of her boss. Kathy had always liked her boss and said she was very forgiving to work for. Since her boss was out of town, Kathy went to the mayor to ask about this mystery account on the books. The mayor took the issue all the way to the FBI, but asked Kathy to keep it quiet and continue her work as usual. Kathy secretly made copies of bank statements and other paperwork for the FBI for 6 months after the U.S. Attorney's Office had opened a grand jury subpoena to monitor the activity going on in the office. During this surveillance, Kathy noticed that several checks totaling millions of dollars were being made out from the city's accounts to the same person, Rita Crundwell. Crundwell was the comptroller for the city of Dixon, Illinois. This was a small city of about 15,000 people, also known for being the hometown of Ronald Reagan. Kathy and Rita had worked together beginning in 1991 and hadn't had any significant issues over that time. However, it was noted that Rita kept a lot of paperwork complicated so that it was frequently brought to her, and she would just handle it herself rather than have any other employees go through financial records. Rita also received all of the city's mail, and if she was away, which was often, the mail would be held for her until she returned. Rita had been heavily involved with horses for most of her life. She'd grown up in Dixon on her family's farm and watched her mother show horses. Rita herself began showing in 1978. While in high school, Crundwell got a job with the city and worked her way up from secretary to comptroller. In the horse world, Rita was known for being flashy. She would roll into shows in a $2 million bus and several expensive trucks and trailers. This was the exact opposite of how she presented herself at work, where she reportedly came off as an understated, small-town businesswoman. Some speculated that Rita's money came from her divorce in 1966, but records show that she was only awarded a house and a car, no significant sum of money in relation to what she was spending. She allegedly told some people that her parents were the original investors of Campbell's Soup and were extremely rich, providing her with her luxurious lifestyle. Campbell's Soup? Really? Rita's breed of choice was quarter horses, where she was the leading owner for 8 straight years. Horses from her RC Quarter Horses program had earned 52 world championship titles, countless Quarter Horse Congress championships, and too many NSBA and AQHA high point titles to count. Most of her horses were bred for either halter or western pleasure, with her top-selling horse, Good I Will Be, bringing in $775,000 at auction. Many people attributed Rita's wealth to either family money or her successful quarter horse business, but I think many horse people would be aware that even a horse breeding or training business that's doing really well probably isn't spending $2 million on a custom bus for horse shows. So while Rita is out living big with her bus, her hauling rig, and her world champion horses, Kathy was still at home in Dixon with the FBI. Kathy had noticed that Rita had been writing herself several checks from Dixon City accounts estimated to total $2 to $4 million per year. Once the evidence had piled up, the mayor called Rita into his office to confront her with the FBI. She allegedly didn't even flinch. During her interview, she was said to be very cooperative and thought she had only taken in the ballpark of $10 million. Only. Can you imagine? Like, I don't know, maybe about $10 million. That's it. Not a big deal, really. You guys can go. So she made it out like she wasn't really sure how much she'd stolen, or it was just this, you know, I just took a quarter from the petty cash to get a candy bar out of the vending machine kind of thing. But when the FBI searched her house, it was discovered that she had records of every dime she'd embezzled from the city locked away under her staircase. The investigation discovered that there were 6 legitimate accounts for the city of Dixon. Rita would move funds into one of these legitimate accounts first to not raise suspicion, and from there she would transfer it to her secret account hidden under the city's name. How did she get away with this? Great question. She would create fake invoices for city development, which would allow her to take money from the city development account and move it to her secret account. This secret account was named in a way that it looked similar to a real city account, but instead she used this account to fund her horse showing. This was repeated at least 170 times. You might ask yourself, how many horses does someone have that they need to steal this much money? Another great question. It was reported that Rita had over 400 horses. 400 horses. What in the world does anyone need that many horses for? Like, genuinely. I mean, a lot of days I have to decide which of my 2 horses I'm gonna ride. I cannot imagine 400. Which, granted, if you have that much money that you've stolen, you can probably pay people to ride them, but I digress. It is rumored that she had told some folks that she was able to pay for all of these horses due to a rich ex-boyfriend who had died and left her his fortune. Right, likely story. Why wasn't there more suspicion when someone who was making $80,000 a year working for the city was rolling around the country to horse shows as if they were a millionaire? Well, I mean, I guess technically she was a millionaire after how much she'd stolen, but would that not raise a red flag to you? At one point, a nearby town called Sterling was starting to wonder why Dixon wasn't doing so hot when they were doing just fine. Sterling was constantly in financial surplus, while Dixon was always running into the red. Even the next town knew something wasn't right and was trying to let Dixon know. In addition, a company called Clifton Larson Allen, which is usually just referred to as Clifton, had been running audits on the city of Dixon starting in 1993 until 2005, and then continued doing so from 2006 on in partnership with another CPA. This is important for a couple of reasons. The first being that they knew that Rita was issuing handwritten checks that were not being cleared by anyone else or entered into the general ledger software being used for these audits. And second, the most damning reason in my book, Clifton was also working for Rita as her personal accountant. How would an accountant see someone making $83,000 a year, but spending millions of dollars a year, and not become suspicious, especially given that they were aware she was writing handwritten checks under the table from the city? Well, considering that one of the Clifton partners admitted during the deposition that he had been on dates with and spent time in the home of none other than Rita Crundwell. When confronted about this, the Clifton partner had stated that he had never had any education about the issues that may arise from dating a client. Another partner claimed that it wasn't their job to detect fraud, since that wasn't why an audit was being done. The same partner was also questioned regarding the fake invoices. These invoices allegedly didn't have the city's logo or contact information. These invoices allegedly did not have the city logo or contact information or formatting, and frequently contained misspellings. This partner admitted that this was something they should have asked about during the audit. A particularly suspicious transfer occurred on September 1st of 2009, when Rita wrote a check from her personal account for $225,000 to purchase a quarter horse named Pazzazzy Lady. This check only cleared due to a deposit from City of Dixon account into Rita's personal account for this exact dollar amount. When this occurred, Rita was stealing $5 million per year because this lack of funds was easy to cover up during the 2008-2010 recession. This threw the City of Dixon further into debt. What continues to make this story depressing is that the City of Dixon was really failing due to lack of money. While invoices were being paid for infrastructure projects, it was allegedly quite obvious upon visiting the city that no multi-million dollar projects were being carried out to improve upon the city. In 2008, Crundwell embezzled $5.8 million from the city, whose entire budget was only $8 to $9 million. The constant theft was apparent in lack of street maintenance after the city was forced to lay off one-third of its street repair workers and cut maintenance due to lack of funds. This blows my mind. In the decade prior to Crundwell's arrest, only 65 total blocks of road throughout the city were repaired or replaced. 65 in a decade, so an average of 6.5 blocks worth of street were fixed in the entire city a year. I mean, a lot of us complain about potholes and street conditions, but can you imagine how bad roads would get with no maintenance for years or decades? This also affected the city's police department when the city budget didn't allow for new radios. It affected several employees who went years without raises. There were also times where they needed new emergency vehicles for fire or EMS and other things like that that just weren't in the budget because Rita was siphoning off all the money so that she could go play ponies. Very ethical. With a pretty substantial amount of evidence against her, Rita was arrested in 2012 and held on a meager bond of only a few thousand dollars. Her accounts had been frozen, and the judge didn't deem her to be a flight risk. When the evidence was all added up, it showed that Rita had stolen an estimated total of $53 million from the City of Dixon. This had been the largest case of municipal fraud in history. Rita pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering and was sentenced to 19 years and 7 months and agreed to forfeit her horses and property. The maximum sentence for this was 20 years, so she slid in right under the maximum sentence. Crundwell was required to serve at least 85% of her sentence, and parole was not a possibility in the federal prison system. She also agreed to pay restitution of $106 million, double what she had embezzled. The U.S. Marshals were paying to maintain the horses until they could be auctioned off. Marshals had seized over 400 horses that were spread across 13 states on 22 different farms. These horses cost $200,000 a month to take care of until the auction. Horses were reportedly sold for way below market value at auction and still brought in over $5 million in addition to tack and other equipment that was auctioned off. That seems like a lot of money, $5 million plus dollars. I saw things ranging from $5 million to $7 million from auctioning everything off, but that's still just a drop in the bucket compared to the $53 million that Rita had taken from the City of Dixon. Rita also owns 20% of her family's show cattle business, as well as a 6-acre property and another 80-acre property. Since Rita's 20% of the company was technically part of her seized assets, her family had to buy the government out of Rita's shares. Her 80-acre property was sold to her nephew for $1.1 million. Apparently, there's some questions about the sales of her property to her family members, and they were investigating it from an article I saw, but I didn't see any follow-ups on that. The rest of Rita's assets were also sold, including nearly 800 trophies, over 100 plaques, and over 150 belt buckles. The chief inspector with the U.S. Marshals Asset Forfeiture Division said that these trophies and awards symbolize the motivation of Rita Crundwell to boldly steal money from the Dixon taxpayers. They were her prized possessions, second only to the horses themselves. Some folks told the marshals that the trophies and awards should be donated for use in other horse shows, but the marshals said that this wasn't allowed by the government and instead stated that a benefactor should purchase the awards and then donate them. One statement that stood out to me was from Judge Reinhard when he said that Crundwell showed greater passion for the welfare of her horses than the people of Dixon who she represented. I'm glad that the horses were being well taken care of, but I can't imagine being a taxpayer in that city. I saw a number where they estimated that she had stolen over $3,000 from each citizen in the city of Dixon. And I don't know if that's including just people who pay taxes there or like babies and kids, I don't know. But that still just really puts into perspective how much money she stole in order to go show her horses. And I see where people were coming from as far as taking the trophies and the buckles and stuff and repurposing them. But would you really want an award that had been hers? I mean, I don't know. That's kind of weird. Federal law states that the government can continue to seek additional assets to obtain restitution from a defendant for up to 20 years after their release from prison. So I don't imagine Cronwell will be back on the horse scene anytime soon. The auditors were sued by the city for their carelessness, which resulted in a $35 million settlement, just over half of what was stolen right under their noses. It is said that this crime itself is not unique and happens quite often, but the dollar amount is what makes it stand out. I asked myself during my research for this episode, like, how did her family not notice? I mean, wouldn't your parents or your siblings or something say something if all of a sudden you're rolling back to the family farm in a $2 million bus and you've got 400 horses? I mean, would you think something was sketchy? But if you're benefiting from that, would you really say anything? I don't know. As Kathy had noticed during the investigation, Rita had been stealing this money in plain sight for years. After looking through the names of some of her horses, I don't think she ever thought she was going to get caught. Some of these horse names include I Found a Penny, I'm Money Too, She Scores, I Execute Class, and Careful Who You Invite. Now, I'm not sure if Rita named these horses or if it's just a really terrible, ironic coincidence, but I just thought I would sprinkle that in there for your own pleasure. It was said that Kathy was glad to see justice served when Rita was first arrested, but stayed home sick the following day because she was so concerned for her former boss. Rita was originally to be released in 2029. She appealed for her release due to COVID, but was denied. She was released to a halfway house in 2021. Many are furious that she lived a life of luxury for decades on stolen money, and only did 8 years in prison for it. There's still no word as to why she was released so early. There seems to be a divide in the horse world about how to handle this situation. Many have advocated for Rita's awards to be revoked since she won them using stolen money. One judge, however, came out saying that money can't buy you trophies. There was also someone in the documentary that said that Rita really was a showman and she really earned the things that she got. But I don't really agree with that. I think that if you have a lot of money and you can afford the best horses and the best trainers and you can take all this time off work to go show and compete at the highest level, obviously you're going to do better than someone who's living on a normal amount of money. It absolutely gives you an unfair advantage. And there was even a comment made in the documentary, All the Queen's Horses. It was on Netflix. I watched it on Amazon Prime. Saying that when you've got 400 horses, of course it's easy to fill a room full of trophies because you're showing so many horses. And there was a comment made that when they were at these horse shows, Rita would basically have, you know, one horse in the arena and she'd come out and she'd change her jacket and someone would hand her another horse and she'd go back in. And so when you're showing in pretty much every single class and you've got the best of the best horses, well, it's kind of a no-brainer that you're probably going to just, by odds, win a lot of awards, you know? When you're the normal kind of show person and you've got one or two horses and you might have a part-time trainer or whatever, you don't have that same opportunity to win as somebody who has the best of everything. Rita was even still earning $16,000 per year in breeding rights up until 2016. If I walked into a horse show, stole someone's horse, and took it into the ring, I would fully expect my awards to be revoked and to be kicked out. So why would we not do the same for someone who added an extra step of stealing millions of dollars from an entire city to go play horses at the highest level? There are people who work their tails off to afford something as simple as a riding lesson or one horse show, and it's a total slap in the face to those people that a thief can walk in with horses and gear purchased with dirty money and win every award in the book and keep those titles even after they've been caught. Now, I know it might seem like kicking someone when they're down because her horses have been seized, her assets have been seized, her physical awards are gone, but she's still in all the records as a winner or a top breeder or whatever. Does she deserve that? I don't know. I creeped on her Facebook page, and oddly enough, we had one mutual friend. There's really no public activity from her anymore. She doesn't even have a profile picture, and there's a lot of people who have tagged her or written on her wall, and it's not a lot in the past 10 years, but if you scroll back, you can see posts from when the case was going down from people posting on her wall. I don't know if she posted. If she did, it's not public, and I'm definitely not adding her on Facebook. But there were a lot of people kind of on both sides of the fence there too. There were some people saying she didn't do it, that she's a scapegoat and she's taking the downfall for somebody else. But I mean, come on, the lady had 400 horses and a $2 million bus on an $80,000 a year salary, and she was the one who was on the checks. I mean, come on. There were also people praising her for being this great horse person and this great breeder, and she had this excellent training program, and we can't, you know, let that be tainted by what she did. And I'm like, you're acting like she punched somebody or got a speeding ticket. This is a serious crime. I mean, and these are probably the same kind of people who want to throw every kid in jail who steals a candy bar in a poor neighborhood. But because it was white collar crime, you think it's okay? I mean, she could have put people in danger. The roads weren't getting maintained. The emergency crews didn't have things they needed. How do you just overlook that? That's a lot of privilege to overlook that and say, well, you know, she's a good horse person and she bred some nice horses, so whatever. There's also some public posts where people who must have been friends with her were saying, you know, how disappointed they were in her and whatever. There were some people saying, oh, I forgive you. And it's like, well, if you're not one of the people that she stole money from, it's not really your place to forgive her, is it? The people that she stole from have every right to be mad. When your city is falling apart, but you're still paying your taxes and they're being intercepted, not for any good reason, it's so she can go show horses. I mean, dang, I would love to have millions of dollars to just go have all the nicest horses and go show and whatever, but how do you sleep at night knowing that all the things you have, all the awards you have, all the horses you have are basically stolen from the people that trust you with their money? Now, I'm not saying that there was not other people responsible. There absolutely were, but I'm not going to victim blame people because, oh, well, they should have had a better setup system. Yeah, probably, but if someone breaks into your house, they're still the perpetrator, whether they broke your window or came in through your door. I mean, you know, it's just interesting how some people are turning it. I mean, I would be furious if someone I showed with turned out to only have everything they did because they stole it. I don't think I would want to be friends with that person anymore, and I would really question their sportsmanship. I mean, can we talk about that? Is that sportsmanlike to beat your fellow competitors with horses that you essentially stole? I don't think that's okay. And it's a little bit weird. I mean, if I were going to steal money, I wouldn't want to get caught. When you're rolling in with millions of dollars of horses and a bus and all that stuff, it's like you want to get caught. Wouldn't it make more sense to just kind of fly under the radar, win every once in a while? And I mean, if you're going to cheat, cheat smart. But she got away with it for decades, so I guess just nobody thought to question her. And then I wonder, how many people knew? How many people was she close with that knew? There were some comments I saw on the Facebook page about her boyfriend at the time that she was arrested. I guess he won't say if they're still together or not, but people think he's maybe hiding money for her or assets for her. There was a storage unit, I guess, found that the boyfriend had with Rita's stuff in it, and of course the government wanted to seize that to go towards her restitution, and that was a whole hassle, and they like never showed up, and he tried to sue the government and whatever. But so do I think she still maybe has money stashed somewhere? I don't know. Do I think she's going to get back into horses? Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of people that seemed not mad at her. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think I could show my face again, right? Like, if I did something like that, I don't think I could roll into a horse show. Because everybody's going to look at you and be like, how'd you buy that one? And like I said, I don't know if she even could because of the government still being able to seize her assets. I'm not sure what the logistics on that are, but yeah, and I'm sure this happens in other instances in the horse world. I'm sure there's plenty of dirty money buying horses and whatever. I mean, there's a stable in the state where I grew up that was this big, beautiful barn. I mean, really fancy. And it was built kind of in the middle of nowhere. And there was never anybody there and never any horses. And everybody said that they thought it was a front for money laundering. And there's been other cases that I've covered, like the Helen Brock case that is on my YouTube channel. Horses are an easy way to scam people or, you know, run a scandal or whatever, because you can kind of do what you want and probably nobody's watching or nobody's going to say anything. And there's a lot of money flowing in the horse industry, and it's not like you exactly walk up to your competitor and be like, oh, how'd you afford that horse? You know, you just kind of assume, well, they must have a rich family, or they have a lot of credit card debt, or something like that. It's just not something we talk about. So anyway, I think that's where we're going to end that. This has been covered quite a few times. If you go to spottedbay.com, there will be the blog post version of this with some of my sources there. I used a couple podcasts as well as the documentary and then some various news articles and government documents about this case, but I just kind of wanted to cover it more from a horse person's perspective. A lot of things that I've watched or listened to cover this from more the legal perspective or the accounting perspective or whatever, and I just wanted to kind of give a horse person's perspective, and I think that this can create some really good dialogue about how money does give you privilege in horses and the show world in general. So I'm looking forward to kind of the discourse over that. With that said, we're going to stop this case here. Remember, if you have any topic suggestions or a personal story that you would like to submit, please reach out to me. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Spotted Bay Productions. We also have a website now, spottedbay.com, where you can submit things there through our contact form. And there will also be blog versions of this podcast if you'd like to read kind of a transcript version of what we said here. Please subscribe, share this with your friends, and we will catch you next time. Ride safe.